This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam Wadeen Muhammad, Muslim leader.
Thank you. Yes,
sir. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. To our audience here and also to the listeners in the radio audience. We wish you peace and we wish you a good day always. We pray God's help be with us, His mercy, and we pray that He guides us always. Ameen. Or amen, as the English language goes. We always begin recognizing God and trusting that God will be with us. And we acknowledge that Muhammad of the scripture, the Quran, the last of the revealed books, is the last of the prophets. And we pray peace and the prayers be upon him again. Ameen or amen. I have to get me, I just rushed from another meeting coming here, and I didn't even get my glasses out. I have to have these glasses, so I'm taking a moment here to get my glasses on. The weather turned a little cooler here, but still is much better than it used to be in this Chicago area. Years ago, it was much colder. We didn't expect it to be any except cold. But now you can hardly tell Chicago from some of the southern states and cities I visit. I go there sometime and the weather is about the same as ours. And on a few occasions I have traveled to the south and their weather was not as good as ours, not as pleasant as ours. So that warming up is something else. It's a danger, but I sure like it. Because I live in Chicago. Chicago area. Chicago is my hometown. And I've heard the saying say, if you don't like Chicago, say stick around. I've moved to several cities, at least four cities, over the duration of my time of leadership with you all. And there's only one city that I would like to move to of those four cities. Chicago, I guess it's because of history too, you know. We have a history here that started in 1934. Goes always back to that time. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he did a lot of great works here that many of his critics don't know about, you know. They just saw him as a different man condemning the world, especially the white world. But they didn't see the full picture of Elijah Muhammad, of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, my father. But Chicago, someone in Chicago did, because they acknowledged his influence in Sun-Times and also in Channel 11 magazine. Chicago's title, Chicago. And they acknowledged him as one of 100 persons who most influenced the history of Chicago. And they weren't acknowledging him in a negative sense, they were acknowledging him in a positive sense. And when I first met the father of our mayor in Chicago now, Richard J. Daley. When I first met him, I just paid a courtesy call on him as a leader. I felt obligated to go to his office and pay a courtesy call. So I did. And the first thing he told me before I could really say much to him was, he said, "We knew your father." And my doors were open to him. I guess he said that to say, relax, you know. And it really relaxed me. Yes. You know, we live in the world, but we have little chance of really benefiting from the world in our time as people of old did, and as many primitive people still do. They can't have the great life of comforts and knowledge and education and progress of science and technology that we have, but they at least can have peace in their little huts, in their little places they live in. I'm talking about backwoods people, primitive people. They can have a healthy relationship with family members. They can have more peace than most of us have. Yes. And they can have more love for one another than most of us city people have. So the environment has changed so much because of progress for science and industry. It has changed so much, and it has kind of blocked the nature, human nature, from the kind of support that human nature gets from creation in its natural form and natural design that God made. So, and we are suffering many problems, and we might be losing faith in God, some of us, losing faith in religion. And this factor is one of the factors that I think has a lot to do with common people, ordinary people, losing faith in God and losing faith in their religious places or in their religious leadership. It is because we do not have that direct interchange for our emotions and for our hearts and for our intelligence, for our brains, that man did have and still have in some primitive quarters of the world. And God made the world to favor human life, not to curse it. He made the world to favor human life. The story of the paradise, Eden, paradise, Jannah, we say in the Quranic Arabic language, Jannah, the story of that beginning of human life in a garden of paradise, is when you study it and look at it very, you know, you have to rethink or bethink. when you think into it, you come to understand, most likely as a scholar, you should come to understand that that's more a picture of God's wish for mankind than it is a picture of what was. It's a picture of God's wish for mankind. And it serves us better when we understand the Garden of Paradise or Eden as God's wish for mankind than it does when we think of it as a beginning for a primitive man. No, it's God's wish for mankind. Now, when we understand scripture, classical scripture, Bible, Quran, and we may include some other scriptures too. When we understand scripture, we understand that scripture sees the world differently. Not with the eyes of the secular world, and not with our eyes. It sees the world differently. It sees the world as the voice of God Himself. What God made is His voice speaking. The universe speaks. The material system of matter speaks. And God says, regarding this, He said, most of the people, they go along unaware, heedless of these signs, heedless of these signs. And you know, I've watched birds, I read too as a student in high school. I read about migratory birds, how they migrate, and how they respond to the sun. The sun rises as scripture says. It rises from east and sets in the west. But it also rises over a period of a year. It rises from two points in the east, or two positions in the east. And it sets from two points or on two positions in the west. And the birds, migratory animals more than just birds, but the birds is very, very easy to notice them. We very readily notice them if we start to observe the birds and have a curiosity and know their life and what's affecting their life. You'll find birds, when the weather gets cold and too hot for them, they take flight and they fly south, where the weather is warmer, from the north. Where they go from the north, where the weather is warmer in the south. And they also come back when the weather warms up in the north. They will come back from the south. The south is hot and nice, but what were they doing when we were cold in Chicago? They were living better in Eden a little bit in the south. But now we're warming up, they say, hey, a lot of food have collected and piled up in Chicago. So it's warm there now. Let's go to Chicago and eat. Well, they know how to follow. And the sun, I'm sure, is a guide for them. The sun in the sky is a guide for them. Because actually, if you observe it as I have, when it's getting near time for cold weather, the sun seemed to be more in the south than in the north. And when it warms up in the north, the sun is more in the north than in the south. So I think these birds, they have an inner sense that tells them that. I don't think they look and say, hey Joe, let's fly. The sun is in the south now. It's time for us to go down south. I don't think that. I think their system registers these changes, and they know when to move and where to move. So it seems that God is so. Now, you hear me saying that. Do you feel God's love? I do. That's God's love that regulated that like that. That's His love. And then we have this free will, so we act on our own and plan without referring to higher powers or reading the signs. So we don't do that. So we plan and we get in trouble. And soon we are in real deep trouble, serious, very serious trouble. And we are crying. And we are crying out. But if we would guard against extremes, because whether your scripture is Christian or Muslim, both these scriptures tell us to guard against extremes. Don't go out for too much, lavish too much wealth on yourself. Don't go for diamonds and gold to show off and fur coats and leather coats to show off like that. That's an extreme. And very few people can manage, very few in the public can manage that extreme. I saw a movie, a gunfighter movie. It was a Western movie about the lawless times in the West, in these United States. And this gunfighter, he wore his guns, his pistols, two of them, and he was so good at getting to them faster than his opponent, until he was well known as a fast shooter, could get to his guns and shoot very fast. And the movie went on to show him, focused on him for the whole movie. And at the end of the movie, it was very clear what the message was. He was not wearing the guns were wearing him. His importance was all in his guns. His worth as a person was all in his guns. So the guns were wearing him. And the same thing happened to us who go to extremes in other ways, lavishing ourselves with this wealth or upon ourselves personally. Now, don't think that this is a speech or talk I'm giving against money or against earning money and against being wealthy. No, not at all. I would not turn down a chance to make billions of dollars, trillions of dollars. I would not turn it down. Because that would only situate me better to help the needs that I see in the world that needs help. So I never cut my chance to make more money. No. I want to make more and more and more and more. Because I want to help the earth, not just W. Dean Muhammad. Now, there are many people like that. Bill Gates and his wife. Bill Cosby and his wife. So many of them like that. They make plenty of money, but they help suffering humanity. They help people who need help. They help them. And if we are going to do that, then what's wrong with living in a capitalist society? If you're a socialist, a religious socialist like Imam W. Dean Muhammad. There's nothing wrong with it. Make money and put it to good use. That's the purpose. And not only that, we who want to become very well educated, and we have been blessed with a talent to do that. God has blessed us with circumstances and a talent to do that. We also should realize that knowledge is a precious commodity, very precious commodity. And when we give of our knowledge, we should give of it the same way we give of our money. Don't hoard knowledge, don't hoard money. But get a lot of both if you can. Yes, so the garden, you know, it was a garden that had everything in it, okayed by God, except the forbidden tree. Except the forbidden tree. Mentioned both in the Quran, also in the Quran, because after all, when you understand, the Quran is like a tafsir on the Bible. Yeah. At least on those parts of the Bible that were issues for the past, issues for the present in the time of Muhammad, and Muhammad the Prophet, peace be on him, he must have understood them to be issues for the future, going far into the future, until mankind able to see the light and respond to the light as God intend for man to respond to the light. I'm talking about divine light, guidance from God. Yes, so the garden had this tree in it, and you know, if you would think now, it's not hidden, you just have to think. It says a tree of knowledge, and a knowledge of good and evil. But it's a tree that God forbids. So it's a knowledge context that establishes or pretends to establish what's good and what's evil for human beings. What we should want and what we should not want, huh? Well, if I told you that tree was the world that we're living in right now, would you believe it?
Yes, sir.
The world that we're living in right now, it wants to tell us what's good and what's bad for us. And it gets most of us, doesn't it? It wants us to tell us what is bad and what is good, what is evil, harmful, and what is good or helpful. It wants to tell us that. And it, some of them, the leaders in this world, you may say secular world. I don't say secular world because that's, for want of a better name, that's what they say the secular world. But there are many established communities established in the secular world, and they are doing business as members in the secular world, but they are not of that mindset. They have their love and their devotion is for God and humanity. Kindness to their fellow man. So they're not of that world, but they're in that. So that's why I hesitate to say secular world. I say the world. Because they are the biggest. They're the biggest outside the home, huh?
Yes.
Yeah? Outside your home, they're the biggest. So I say the world. Then we have in the home the private world. Mm-hmm. And we have the religious workers working hard against the influences of the world to save families and life for the plan that God gave Adam when he gave him the plan of the garden. Yes. So we underestimate religion. We underestimate scripture. We underestimate religion. We take it to be no more than what we see. And our minds can't see everything all the time, you know? We can't see everything. Never reduce God or scripture down to your focus. You can't put God and scripture in your focus unless you get guidance from God. Huh? Then you can put it in your focus. But your mind by itself on its own is too small, and the possibilities for your vision or your seeing is too small without the help of God for you to look at religion and condemn religion, or look at scripture and condemn scripture, or look at God and say, I don't think I want to believe in God anymore. You're going on your own. If you knew the God that the prophets knew, if you knew the God that the saints knew, if you knew the God that the seers, those who look into, not just at, knew, you wouldn't be in the fix you are right now. And you would reject the big world and its invitation to go on your own. Because isn't that what happened to Adam in the Garden of Eden? He got an invitation to go on your own. Stop letting what you think God said hold you down or hold you back. Go on your own. So the secular world, that's his voice, that's his message. Don't let your parents hold you back. Don't let your parents keep you down. Don't let your parents control your behavior. Don't let religion, don't let even God control you. Be on your own. I'm not trying to really criticize the world. I'm trying to get you and the audience stronger in faith. That's all. My intent is only to get you to be stronger in your faith. Don't be weak in your faith. Be strong in your faith. Because God is not responsible. The scripture is not responsible. No. Your religion is not responsible for the state that the world is in. It is those who care more about money, care more about the power that money gives them. They care more about that than they care about human life, than they care about families. So they'll break up families, they'll ruin human life. And you know what they say? They got a devilish mind, some of them. Yeah. They say, well, if there's really a God, he can straighten it all out. Yeah. It ain't my responsibility to make it nice. If there's really a God, why don't he show up and intervene? Well, he does, over and over again. And such mindsets or mentalities, they are overturned. They are put down. They lose their place in the seat of power. Yes, it happens over and over again. But they never give up. So we should have faith. We must have faith. Right. Have faith and have strong faith. Right. And don't look at the world that is hurting human life, moral life, spiritual devotion. Right. Don't look at the world that's hurting that essential life, that first life, that Garden of Eden life, without looking at the direction that you get from your good parents at home and the direction that you get from your religion. You know, even if a bad person is preaching, whether it's on Sunday or Friday, he can't help but quote from Scripture, right? I guess that's why a lot of these bad preachers, they keep an audience. Because there's enough coming from Scripture to at least let the hearts and souls that he is preaching over feel God. You know? They will feel God in their hearts and in their soul. They will feel God. So they keep coming back to feel God. And I'm sure that a lot of them think he's coming back to him. No, you ain't nothing but a show. Just like going to a good, simple show. Shallow script. And a simple show. And they'll come back to you because whether they know it consciously or not, they are hearing something from the Bible or something from the Quran of God's Word. And they go there to get it. Well, I told those who support me in my leadership, I told them, you don't have to be a Muslim in these small confines. If the mosque is not making you feel healthy, then you should leave it. Yes? I don't go out there and tell somebody I said lead the church. I said the mosque. I represent the mosque. If the mosque is not making you feel happy, please leave it. If it's not making you feel good, please leave it. You'll be better off without it. But don't leave it before trying to bring about change. And how are we to bring about change when we are not liking what we are experiencing or what we are looking at or what we are supporting with our charities or whatever? How are we to change it? We have instructions in the religion that says, change it with your hands, if you can do that. If you can find the wherewithal, change it with your hands. Now, what your hands mean? It means with action. It doesn't mean go up there and grab the preacher and pull him down from the podium and throw him out the door like an Indian told me they did a preacher once. Yeah, I was in prison, Sandstone, Minnesota, serving time for refusing to answer selective service order to go to a certain hospital. I had no objection, but I couldn't get my father to say that he approved of it, so I didn't do it. I wouldn't go. So I went to jail. Yeah, you ever went to jail for honoring Elijah Muhammad? I did. Yeah, and don't regret it. I don't regret it. But it wasn't my decision. I went on his decision, not mine. Okay? So anyway, I was up there in Sandstone, Minnesota, and Indians were in that federal prison for little petty things. So this Indian's name was Left Hand, and he got to be kind of friends. We talked a lot together. So he said, Elijah Muhammad, it's your father. Are you different? I said, yes, he is. He said, you know what? I'm going to tell you a little story. He said there was a priest. He said,
for more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.